tuned into Quick Charge, the high voltage podcast bringing you the top stories in electric vehicles and sustainable energy daily. And it's all powered by Electrek. Welcome to Quick Charge. It's January 9th, 2025, and I'm your host, Joe Boris. We've got a few big stories that came out this week. The first one being that Tesla's U.S. sales have dropped by as much as 5% despite record incentives and the launch of the all-new Cybertruck. An analyst going by Troy Teslake on X has been among those most accurate in predicting Tesla's quarterly delivery results, and he shared his breakdown per region in this article by Fred Lambert. That shows that Tesla is down 10% in Europe, and even though it's up 8% in China, that growth is slowing, and most worryingly, Tesla sales are down in the U.S. by more than 5%, despite the launch of a new Model 3 and, of course, the Tesla Cybertruck. Now, that doesn't mean that's the end of the world for Tesla, because they have a new refresh version of their best-selling vehicle, the Model Y. So Fred asked the question here, can the Model Y refresh reignite Tesla's growth? Earlier today, we had our best look at the refresh so far, and it is similar to the Model 3 refresh in the sense that it features new headlights and taillights, although different ones than the Model 3, including light bars, as well as a more aggressively styled front end. Tesla hasn't gone into too many details about what's under the hood changes are going to come with the Model 3 refresh, but it did feature an improved suspension, a quieter cabin, and a slight increase in efficiency. So it'll be interesting to see how that works. Of course, at this point last year, the Model Y was the best-selling car on the planet, not only the best-selling EV, but best-selling car overall. And that brings us to our second big event of this week, the CES show in Las Vegas. I was there as a guest of Honda that showed off new Zero Series EV models that were inching closer to production. Honda kicked off the 2025 Consumer Electronics Show in high style with the global debut of its first two models in its new Zero Series of EVs set to roll off the Ohio assembly line in 2026, along with your newest road trip buddy, Osimo. That's right, in its latest iteration, the Osimo robot isn't a cuddly humanoid, but a new original vehicle operating system developed by Honda that the brand hopes will offer a similarly friendly e-mobility experience to Zero Series drivers. Osimo learned a lot from other proprietary vehicle OSs too. For starters, it's constantly updating the in-vehicle software through over-the-air updates for both the digital user experience and integrated dynamic controls that will allow Honda to deliver, quote, a personalized ownership experience that will enhance the joy of driving. And that is the key word for everything Honda rolled out at CES, ownership experience. At the Honda roundtable discussion ahead of CES 2025, Honda North America executives discussed EV charging, and the feeling was that Honda, like Tesla, was getting ready to take responsibility for the entire EV ownership experience by playing a bigger role in IONNA, the 7 OEM collaboration launched last February. We're not going to see Honda-branded chargers. They were very clear about that. But Honda insists that it's not going to leave the charging experience to someone else either. Quote, the goal is to have Osimo deliver live trip planning and charge point routing, but customize the experience as it gets to know you. That's according to Jay Joseph, VP of Sustainability and Business Development at Honda North America. Whether that's routing you to a charge point that uses cleaner energy or locations that have pet-friendly facilities, that's something that we hope to bring to the charging experience. What's more, Honda wants that experience to be as easy and ubiquitous as gas is today. Quote, we believe we can rival the supercharger network by the end of this decade, continued Joseph. We're very confident, he said, doubling down, and he explained that Honda would deliver the Zero Series models with J3400 NACS or Tesla-style connectors. Plug and charge, AI-driven routing and charging suggestions and trip navigation, and more Osimo-driven improvements to the EV ownership experience were mentioned. Quote, by the middle of next decade, BEVs could be the largest source of stored energy to help smooth out the so-called duck curve of the current energy grid. We think V2G will help smooth that out and enables customers' energy costs to be much more predictable. Great stuff. Obviously, very excited to be a part of that. And these are some great looking vehicles. We called this the Honda Saloon. That's according to Honda, but a lot of the press people that were there were calling it the Honda Lamborghini. It really does look really, really slick. And of course, the much more production ready SUV looks like it would fit perfectly between the HRV and CRV. So that's right there in that sweet spot of the 5-passenger SUV crossover shape that is so popular here in North America. But of course, While I was there at the show as a guest of Honda, there was a lot more to see than just the Honda booth. One of those things was Aptera. This was the first time they showed off their quote-unquote production intent vehicle. They also had the body in white here, or body in carbon, I guess, as an exploded view. And you can see this gentleman here that was showing off some of the solar panels. They claim to have a patented three-dimensional contour-shaped solar panel. Not sure. It looks much like the kind of blue and purpley TV cells that we're used to seeing. As it was explained to me, there were seven completely different circuits here on the solar panels so that the car could continue to charge if part of it was in shade or part of it was partially covered. So there's a lot of neat stuff happening here, and there's a couple of great articles here that I will put in the show notes. Be sure to check those out if you want to learn more about Aptera. Moving on from there, the Xiaopeng Aerohot was in full force display here at CES. This is a really exciting, kind of not quite flying car, but definitely a well-engineered, fully conceived idea of how you can get a flying portable two-person drone, get it in the back of your minivan, and drive this thing around. This was a lot of fun. Obviously got a ton of attention. There was no real great way to get clear shots of it just because there was people crowding around it. Even by day three, there were a ton of people still running around this thing. So not quite a flying car, not quite what we imagined when we were watching Jetsons. Still very, very cool. Moving on from that, we had the autonomous Volvo VNL. This is an updated version of Volvo's autonomous suite that it's developing with Continental. And you can see on the left-hand side, this is the original autonomous prototype that the company showed back at ACT Expo in May of last year. And then on the right here, you can see much more productionized versions. These are a little bit more durable. They're a little bit more rated for salt water and sea air. And the beautiful thing about this is that these are production-ready units that can be added to existing vehicles to bring that autonomous sort of experience and autonomous operation to vehicles that are currently in service. So this is going to be something that's really exciting, even for diesel fleets or CNG powered fleets that are looking to automate the operations of their vehicles along predictable routes. This is something that they're going to be very, very excited of. I had a great conversation with those guys. Look forward to having them on the show later this year. Inside the show, there was a ton of stuff from Oshkosh, from Grumman, from JLG. This is a fully electric telehandler that uses electric actuators, so they're not using hydraulic oil. That's going to save a ton of time on the job site. That cab there on the left-hand side of the boom arm, that folds down in case you want to operate it remotely. And this orange guy that you see on the ground here, that is a fully autonomous robot delivery that will swap out the batteries of the equipment in your fleet while it continues to operate. So in this case, the vehicle doesn't need to go to a charging station. The charging little robot guy there will go plug in or swap the battery. So it's really neat there. At the top there, you've got an autonomous electric cabless luggage handler. That is a perfect solution and use case for electric and autonomous vehicles. You've got a controlled route. You've got no random traffic, and you've got something where you can very easily and predictably tell it, go to gate 14, go to gate B7, and it'll get the job done. And finally, we've got a remote operated Oshkosh waste bin here. I thought this was pretty cool. You fill it up. When it detects that it's getting full, it takes itself to a central location where somebody can swap out the bin liner, put in a new one, and it can go back to service. So that's something that I think would be really fun. I'd love to see those running around Epcot or some kind of future forward looking theme park like that. I think that'd be a ton of fun, especially with googly eyes. Give them different names. People would love that. Moving on from here, Suzuki had a number of really cool micromobility things. Suzuki, not a name that we talk about much here on electric, but they had, obviously a little electric K truck. They had a electric forklift, they had electric snowplow, and all of it is based on this Applied EV in the bottom left here. This is an electric skateboard that essentially they're developing to be a one size fits all and something that you can put up to two or three pallets on. And even in fact, a small 8-foot or 16-foot shipping container can go right on top of it and get from point A to point B. That is a fully self-contained autonomous little skateboard chassis there. Really, really cool engineering. We'll try to get more information on that as we go on. Finally, a couple of other things that maybe won't merit an entire article, but we'd love to get some information about them. Wright had a 2,700 horsepower electric motor that is designed to fit inside the existing nacelle of something like a 737 or an Airbus. This is a really slick little package and something that they have in early trials here, and we're looking forward to having them on the show as well. Really exciting stuff. Of course, our one-time title sponsor and future sponsor and good friends, Bluetti, They had both of their new Power Pack backpacks on display. Those were really cool. I got to try them out. A little heavier than I thought they would be, but still nothing too crazy. It's about like if you grew up in the early 2000s, you had an 05 MacBook Pro or, maybe something heavy like that. That's kind of how it felt that you're carrying it around. And Komatsu had an early 3D printed plastic prototype of its lunar excavator. I thought that was really cool. Komatsu obviously had a ton of great stuff there, including their underwater bulldozer and a fully electric 30-ton excavator. We'll have links to that in the show notes as well. So that pretty much wraps up CES, except of course for the fact that we like to end these shows talking about sustainability, talking about the grid, and we're going to do the same thing today. The new solar storage site will help power the Las Vegas Strip. Reno-based Estuary Power is the developer of a project called Escape. It's a $340 million finance package for the solar and storage project late last month. Escape includes 185 megawatts of JinkoSolar solar PV capacity and 400 megawatt hours of Tesla battery storage capacity. Escape will supply 115 megawatts of solar and 400 megawatt hours of battery energy storage to MGM Resorts International, 25 megawatts to Caesars Entertainment, 20 megawatts to Wynn Las Vegas, and 25 megawatts to Overton Power District under long-term agreements. The project is the first utility-scale solar project to be developed in Lincoln County, just north of Las Vegas, where it will generate nearly $80 million in tax revenue for the county over its lifespan. It's currently under construction and will begin operation later this year. Las Vegas is the second in the U.S. for solar capacity per capita. That's all we've got for today, January 9th. Thanks for catching up with us here after CES and for putting up with the long wait between episodes following the break and the new year. Welcome back and expect to see a whole lot more in the coming days.